So Tana and a friend of ours, we did a bench of three, and we had a great experience.
Awesome.
So are you going to help me, Lou? Can she hear me? Anyway, we were that bench of three member we were talking about.
Yeah.
You counseled me. Well, we've been going to this mountain. It's a regional mountain, and it was so cool. I kept saying this is so cool the whole time, but we all saw the same thing. I think it's a regional mountain, and there's a book on the mountain. It's a pedestal, a podium thing, and on the podium is this book, and we began to see the different chapters of the book throughout the week. And when we got together, we'd all kind of had that experience. And anyway, we were there, and we started to give honor to those that had been dishonored over the region, and it kind of led us to Native Americans. And I think while we were there, we were also praying about the weather, because we don't have any snow here. I think this is the sequence, Lou. But anyway, we found ourselves inside a room, a vast room full of blue water, and I was expecting snow, but water, and we began to release water. It went from a regional to a national thing that we were, releasing. And then we went from there to back to honoring, and we were we went to the plains of America. We were all three in the plains, and anyway. And then I'll let Lou speak too, if you want, Lou. But then we found ourselves on the ice. I saw the word Sumpner, and I saw this fort, and again we were honoring those that had been dishonored for quite a while, and I researched it, and Sumpner is a place where the very first shot of the Civil War took place, and it's where this Indian, who was a great leader on the whole East Coast, was tricked, and the last of the East Coast Indians were captured and just completely dishonored by the American government at the time. So anyway, we've been having a lot of fun, but it started out regional and went to national.
Good, so. Excellent. Sounds good. Awesome.
Well, yeah, what I'm finding fun about it is that three people are going together. I've been listening to your groups in Atlanta and whatnot, and they sit there, and I listen to them talk to you about their experiences together. I want my own experience. I want to do that with other people. Yep. So.
Good. Well, yes, I mean, it's a good encounter, that. So. And again, you know, it's progressing. Things move on as you get more familiar with it. Okay. Looks like Lou has got problems. She can't hear us.
Oh.
And I don't think we can hear her either. So I think she's going to... Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Sometimes it gets like that. You just have to... reboot your machine. So.
Yeah, that's what happened to us when we were trying to get with her. She had to reboot herself.
Yeah, I think she is. That's what she's going to do now anyway, I think. So she'll come back in a minute anyway.
But one of the questions I had is we were really leaning into our regional authority, and immediately we found ourselves on top of this very large mountain, and it had a plateau. I thought it was a vast area, and as we began to see where we were, the mountain got higher, and other mountains appeared seven other mountains appeared, smaller mountains below us, and it was definitely facing our area in eastern Washington.
Yeah.
Have you ever, do you know what that represents?
Yeah. I mean, basically, you will, you'll always have seven mountains associated with your sphere of authority. And usually those seven have seven as well. So there's levels of government, and there's higher realms of government. The seven spheres, it's finding out, okay, what are they? What governmental spheres do they represent? And then you begin to call forth those who will be on those mountains. And we're in this process now, you know, obviously being a local, you know, ecclesia in one sense, but also having a wider equipping mandate. We have to have things on the ground that are outworkings of the revelation of this, otherwise it's just theory. So we've done the same thing. We have a bench of three, four, what we do, the ministry here, and now we have seven mountains, which each of those has people on there. Initially we found, you know, one or two people, and then we found some more that were called to it as we began to issue the call. And that's what we did. As a three, we issued a call, we released a sound, we got scrolls for those mountains that weren't ours, but we got them ready for people. And now I think five of our seven mountains have three on them, and then the other two have two, and they're looking for the third for each one. And of course then they then will begin to encourage people to participate. And what we've done here is we had a week where each mountain shared their vision to the rest of the church. And then there's an ongoing people being involved. They get together with others to share what they're doing. They begin to legislate, produce charters, produce declarations, things that they start to operate in, which is great. And, you know, when I first saw all these mountains, I tried to sort of get on them and do some stuff because I was the only one who knew how to do it. And God really said to me, no, you can't. So I'm like, okay. So it was like, no, you need to find the other people who are called to those areas. And then that means I'm free to do what I'm called to do, and we encourage and release them and into their destiny. And then more and more people start to be part of establishing government. So it's definitely effective. And, you know, in terms of the mountain, the plateaus, you know, most of the, you know, in mountains, we tend to think of mountains having a point. But, you know, think a tabletop mountain in South Africa or something, or Sugarloaf Mountain in Brazil, in Rio, which I've been on, they are more of a plateau. And the mountain of God has many plateaus on the mountain, and many waterfalls and many gardens and many places within Mount Zion that are spheres of government and effectively different areas where God works, you know. So definitely, you know, what you're seeing is exactly what you should see. It's just going deeper and finding out. And are there anything on those mountains that are hindrances or blockages? And that will be the next thing, you know, establish seeing, because you get revelation of, are there spiritual blockages that, and you obviously look to identify some of those things when you were doing the ministry in the region, you know, some of the dishonor, some of the things. Now, you know, we've, in the past, you know, a lot of things like spiritual mapping and things like that, you know, were beneficial things. The problem was they never went to a higher realm to administer it. They just tried to do things from here, from the perspective, well, this happened in history and that happened in history. And I'm not knocking that. I think there was a level of revelation that they operated in, and you know, they would do some identification repentance, or they would go to a certain place and they would do some physical acts, prophetic acts. Fine, we've done all those things. But now I think we need to operate from a higher level realm, and we need to administer from there, you know, above. That's why it's higher. You know, that's why you see it raising up, it's higher. So, yeah.
Well, one of the things that kind of took me by surprise was because we were really, really leaning in together in the region. Really, we saw the book, we saw its position, we saw the other mountains, and then all of a sudden we found ourselves addressing one of the, when I say book, I assume it's the same thing as a scroll.
Yeah.
But the one of the chapters was irrigation, and so that's when we found ourselves in this great place of water and releasing water. Can you hear us, Lou?
Yes.
Yay, she's in.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, okay, Lou, you can speak up now. We've been talking about our little experience together, but right now I was saying that when we were on this mountain, we were in a regional realm. We saw the book of irrigation, the chapter of irrigation. We were in that place of water, release water. Then we found ourselves traveling across the United States as we were releasing honor. And I was kind of, I don't know, I was lost as far, I mean, the experience was real and awesome and amazing, actually, but I was trying to get my understanding of our authority and how we relate to other authorities when that was going on.
Yeah. Sure.
That's a good question. It's kind of like we're just learning as we go, and we're sensitive when we get there. It's good to be quiet when you hit an area that we're unfamiliar with, the East Coast and the things that are going on. But yet we have authority to step in on behalf of whatever's going on. I think it's amazing the how we function as the three. And I think the best description I had was like the Empire State Building has these. You put your quarter in so you get a viewfinder thing so you can look and see what's going on. And it's almost like we get to this place and then all three of us are looking out at different aspects of what we're seeing, and then we work as a system. It is the most awesome feeling. And I also got the idea of Daniel's the wheels of that with eyes on it, that in a way we run up and we put our eyes to those eyes and we're looking out as if we were inside the wheel to look out at whatever was going on. Yeah. I know we're still learning, but it feels nice to at least go there, and we can pick up where we left off and keep praying over the things that we saw.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, sounds awesome. And, you know, that's exactly how we function as three. You know, we see things from different perspectives. We share those perspectives with one another. We see the bigger picture, often put the jigsaws together. And then we're then seeking for what's the mandate or the strategy for what we do. You know, and sometimes we'll step back out and we'll talk and we'll share, and then we'll, okay, we need to step back in, we need to go and get a strategy, we need to assign angels or whatever it might be, and you can do that. It's an interactive, as you say, with different aspects. You know, and we function here, you know, with our redemptive gifts and also just the way in which we engage. You know, I'm very sort of, you know, apostolic in terms of big picture stuff. You know, we have one of our ladies in the bench. She's very prophetic, so she often has dreams and encounters and visions even before we've met that then add to the mix, as well as what we see when we're together. You know, and the other guy, you know, he's in terms of rulership, he's a kingly function, and he is very strategic, and he sees, you know, how you outwork things, you know, and it works really well together. And, you know, and I think that's the key. You know, then relationally we can begin to function in that way, honor each other, recognizing the gifts, submit each other to each other in terms of what we see, and then bring a unity and a oneness out of it. And that's how benches really work. But I like the illustration of the telescope or the viewfinder thing, because that's really, yeah, you're seeing from that higher perspective, looking down, and that's where we can deal with those things we see operating in culture or in the atmosphere. We can look to deal with that from above. And that's the key to all of it. We rule above those principalities and powers or rulers or whatever they're operating, and we need to administer change on the earth that affects a changing culture and a transformation of culture, effectively through what we do and what we're called to do. And there may be various strategies that God gives for that, but as we seek him, then we'll find that we can get whatever we need. You know, and you will become more legislative, and you'll find that you can access the Court of Kings. You'll engage with the men in white linen, you know, as reference points, and you will begin to make legislative decrees that will begin to bring the principles of the kingdom into place and to see change, you know. And we're just, as you say, we're just learning, we're just at the beginning of this, but we can see progress, you know. And I think that's, you know, it's always exciting when you can see, you know, things out beginning to outwork and things beginning to make sense, and there's so much more. I mean, you know, I can't even describe to you how much more there is, because
what I like about the Bench of Three was taking three different personalities that we have, and we quickly gelled. That really surprised me, and how we function. I keep saying a system, but that's how we, it feels like we do have our strengths. What is that, the Transformer show or something, where we all just transform into the persons, the people that we are, and then we fit together. We are very knitted together, and we've only done this, has it been twice or three times?
Twice.
I think it's only been twice.
Yeah.
And just in those two times, how solid I think we feel as a group and confident to go forward. And
awesome.
That really surprised me as a relationship, how quickly that formed.
Yeah.
One of the things I would like to back up to is I mentioned that we went from this regional to a national scene, and I felt, and I continue to feel, this tremendous responsibility to really understand how that works in the spirit with other peoples. And I mean, how does that work governmentally when you see that far? Like,
well, you can only do what you see the Father doing, and as the Father releases revelation to you, then you're responsible to act on it. And that's, if you don't get the revelation, you're not responsible to act on it. Because I think you're operating, and most of us are operating right now, in transitional government. And because not many people are doing this, we get to administer things that later on other people will be in place to administer. But right now, we're forerunners, and if we're willing, then he's going to use us. And it may be that that's not actually where, you know, we will end up, but right now we will. And, you know, God is looking for willing people to forerun and to take responsibility for those things that he shows them, even when it's not necessarily our direct sphere of government. Because, I mean, I've done some things that I'm not actually, it's not my sphere, but I'm shown and given the mandate to do it, so I do it. You know, and that's just being obedient, really, to what you're have revealed to you. But I do feel we're in a major transition. So, you know, we're right at the forefront of this. You know, there aren't many people who are doing this type of thing. So when something needs to be done, God is going to engage those who are there willing. You know, I mean, every night I go, when I go to sleep, I send my spirit into the realm of heaven and just make it available. So if God wants to use me in the night or send me somewhere or doing something, hey, I'm there. You know, I don't even need to know what that is. You know, it's just if he wants to use me, I'm available for his use. And, you know, when we position ourselves in a place that can engage God this way, then he will use us.
That's good.
Hopefully we will raise up a whole load more people, and God will encourage those people to take the responsibilities for those areas, and then we will start to actually see, you know, government over the whole area. You know, and we'll see the pattern of that government begin to be outworked. Because that's really where, you know, what I'm really excited about and looking for is, you know, to see, you know, governmental positions established so that we can really take whole areas, whole regions, and, you know, engage it. You know, and I think that's, I mean, I think I showed you the sort of diagram before in terms of, you know, this picture that God showed me and firing arrows and connecting up with different areas and regions and seeing those regions begin to relate with one another and then establish those quadrant areas or these areas, you know, the areas in here in each one of these and seeing, you know, people from here and here and connect up with here to make this governmental and this and this and this. But we need to establish here. And what God is doing, he's establishing something strongly here, something strongly over there and strongly over here, which I'm sort of connected to, and I'm just starting to see some things in the southwest. So, you know, once these lines of connection begin to establish, you know, we will start to see real government. And then more and more people will be in the place where they will begin to call for cities of refuge, establish the places in these areas that, you know, God is wanting to bring government so that places are ready on the earth, as well as, you know, just on a map. You know, this is a beginning of a lot. So I'm really excited when I hear, you know, people establishing government. You know, again, I was a bench of three that are beginning to form. I think someone in Vancouver and a couple in Portland who, again, are called into that whole area of the Northwest. Which, you know, shows that God is really beginning to raise up the authority and to lift it higher. We can be lifted up, oh, you gates, you know, and as heads in those positions to release the blessing of God and to see the kingdom start to governmentally begin to engage. You know, and we're just, we're at the beginning, but there's more.
So. You just triggered my memory of a dream that I had this morning. Morning came on me too fast to reflect on it, but oh my gosh, it started out, I was in a local government building dealing with some things for, gosh, it seemed like all night long, and then something happened that we couldn't deal with it locally, and we had, in my dream, a group of like hundreds of us walked over to the federal building to deal with the court case that had to be dealt with in the federal building. So now I see that my spirit is very busy at night doing governmental things. I don't even know what triggered all that, but I remember going from the local government and walking over to the federal government with a bunch of people to deal with an issue. That's funny.
That's you know, these things begin to tie in and we can see, you know, God working in them. I mean, it all starts with having the government of God in our own life, you know, surrendering, you know, the seat of government and the rest in our spirit, you know, and God teaching us to rule, you know, and then we engage that in the realms of heaven and our mountain position, start to outwork the mountains that we have, you know, and that then, you know, it's there's a progression from lordship, kingship, sonship, and along the way you get thrown in chancellor, scribe, oracle, legislator, you know, priest. There's a few other things that are functions and offices of governmental authority in there, but it's a progression, and as we're faithful with little, he will begin to entrust us with more. And, you know, I mean, I'm sort of engaging in some things right now with the Chancellor's houses that I am amazed. I mean, it's just, I'm just seeing how much we don't know. you know, and how much more is coming. The mysteries of God are being unveiled. It's like we have, you know, 0.1% of the mysteries, and that's all that we've seen so far, and they're all in darkness, but they're being brought into the light as we engage. And therefore, those mysteries are being unveiled and revealed. And there are things there which we have not, it's not just that we can't imagine or think. They have never, ever, ever been revealed anywhere, because they have been reserved for our time. So there are things that we just cannot even imagine yet. And we know we can, it says God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what we can imagine or think. But some of the things that are the mysteries of God, even in things that are going to be released, just don't exist. Some of the things are being unveiled, like, you know, the scrolls that were sealed up by Daniel. They're being opened and released into our time. But they have been sealed up. They've been seen. He just sealed them. But these things are not even seen. These are things that have never even been released in the whole of history. So they are eternal things which are now being released into our time for us to begin to see released. And, you know, the spheres of government, I mean, I love it. It's like, you know, you're in the local government, you're going to the federal government, but actually we're going to go to the interplanetary government and the galactic government and the interdimensional government and beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond. I mean, it's just because there's no end to the increase of his government. So it's just the blinkers will be taken off so that we can actually see that this is, we are just at, you know, kindergarten, if that, with these things. And there is, you know, university and master's degree and PhDs of everything, and we're just in kindergarten. But it's great because we're learning and we're engaging, but we're going to mature. And when we embrace lordship out of friendship and embrace the responsibility there to administer the principles of the kingdom, then we will get to operate with charge of the house and charge of the courts and then access to stand in the assemblies of the courts of God at higher levels than we can imagine. And some of what is there in terms of how the government of what is does not yet exist, because we have not actually created it yet, is all there. You know, the principles are the same. They're all based on the same basic principles of heaven. You know, benches are 3, 7s, 12s. You know, the same patterns will just be outworked, but from a perspective of the precepts of God from eternity released, so that we will understand as sons how to bring these things into being and to then begin to administrate them. And so it's pretty exciting to be at the beginning of something and to embrace it. And for you guys who are doing that, just keep going. And you know, there's just an ever-increasing amount of what you will be engaging in. So pretty
I want to encourage amazing. You that next to me, my girlfriend, her name is Mackenzie, I call her Boots, and the things that this generation is learning already is quite amazing. Her dreams and her ability to do interpretations, to see what she sees, and it comes effortlessly, and so I'm helping her connect some of the dots that she's learning, so I want you to be encouraged by the generation behind us and what they're learning right out of the gates that we're learning at 50 and beyond.
Yeah. But, you know, but we can be there to support and encourage and to pass the baton on, and hopefully, in a sense, we start engaging in the fullness of our kingdom authority, that we don't have to die and we can be along with them all the way in. You know, Joshua and Caleb went in, you know, and with that generation, and help that generation fully engage each of their territories before they decided, you know, that was enough. You know, I want to be ready and available until I've either finished everything God's got me to do, or he wraps it all up. So, you know, so we got plenty of opportunity to come, and then we've got the ages to come, and all that that means in terms of what we will learn here and bringing the earth back into its central position in the purposes of God to then begin to administrate everything else that he has created as his sons. Which is exciting stuff, so yeah, awesome. Excellent. Okay, so anyone else want to share anything or ask anything?
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can. You're good in good voice.
Good. I went from my computer to my little Chromebook, and it I couldn't figure it out on my computer at all.
All right, okay, good. Excellent. Okay, brilliant. So anything you want to share or ask?
Nothing comes to mind right now.
Okay, fine.
I had an interesting dream a couple nights ago. I haven't put it all together. I saw a white wolf in an open field with some trees, like an orchard, and then a group of white horses came running towards me. They kind of split off and went past me. Then I saw another group of horses coming, and alongside them was a German Shepherd. And at that point, I wanted to look back and spot that wolf. I sensed like danger for the German Shepherd. But when I saw the wolf, he was actually a white collie-type dog with a little color on the tips of his ears. And he looked at me, and I was very comfortable with him. That was the end of the dream.
Well, I mean, a lot of these things are symbolic. I mean, I think, you know, in terms of horses, you know, it's always, I mean, I engage with horses quite a lot in the realms of the kingdom. You know, it's always, for me, it's always an engagement with the Holy Spirit and a higher elevation of being able to move and move forward. But you've got lots of symbols there that, you know, will be something that relates to where you are. I think the fact that something that looked like a wolf wasn't is something that's key. So something that you might be naturally suspicious of actually is shown that it isn't something to be concerned about. So you probably come across something, or God's going to reveal something that you might be, whoa, but actually he's showing you, look, it's okay. It's all part of, you know, what I'm doing right now. You know, but I think, you know, there's movement coming, and I think that's the key to the moving of the horses. You know, God is going ahead of you, preparing the way for you, because they went past you, but there's going to be an opportunity for you to get on and follow the same route, effectively. You know, so yes, yeah, so yeah, awesome. Okay,
cool.
Yeah. So have you got anything, Henry?
Well, I got into that room that with all of the books and scrolls, and that was pretty good. And I don't know, my sense just kind of mirrored everything that you've shared about it. It was a really interesting place, and I didn't ask to go there, though. I saw a realm open up behind the Lord when I was in the throne room, and he had. He asked me a question, and I had to answer him and give him a response. And it took me three times to actually get in it. And that was interesting, because usually I'm able to just kind of go right in, and anyway, it took me three efforts to get in, and on the other side of the light at the end of the hallway. When I entered in, all of a sudden I was in, and it was just dark. But because of what you had shared about, like, your process of how you were shining a light in your heart, it was like I started doing that, and it worked just like you said. It kind of reminded me. I remember my mother had a Brownie camera, which was like a little square box, and so I'm in that place and shining my heart, and it was like that little, it reminded me of my mother's Brownie camera, And there's a lot in there. And I asked the Lord. I said, you know, how do we get this stuff out of here? And he said, you know, he just said protocol. And so I'd like to understand what the protocol is. There's a lot in there. I don't know. I'm just kind of, but I got in there. I thought this is what Mike was talking about, and I could feel, and it was like nobody's even seen this. As I've seen the books and I've seen the scrolls, but I have no idea what's contained in them. I've been in the room; they were even over my head. It's like the whole room is stat like a giant pile, and it was even overhead. Anyway, I'm kind of fascinated with. My mind's blown. I don't have any way to conceive like what this all is, but it's getting interesting.
Sure. Yeah. Our spirits receive and have revelation of stuff that our mind can't contain right now, and that's okay. Those spiritual encounters are all productive in preparing us, and our spirit will have absorbed encoded information, revelation, all sorts of things from the experience. I think it is difficult to describe, and I'm finding it difficult to describe the process that I've been on, I've worked through the Chancellor's houses. I'm on to house 11. I've been in house 11 today, and I've been in there once or twice before, and it was like, wow, because sometimes you see a room and you're like, wow, and then it's sort of like you look off to the side and there's this room that goes into a whole lot of rooms, and it's like, wow, what's in there? So I've been into this the affairs of the nations place before, and I saw some things, but I went back today, in sequence, and having gone through all the other 10 houses, my access to it had increased, and so I saw many, many things, but it's difficult to describe them all. But I mean, this dark mysteries of God, the things that are being prepared for us, I can't describe because I've never seen them. My spirit will resonate with it, but my mind, even some of the things are almost like releases of revelationary inventions and technology and different things. I've seen them, but I can't actually have words to describe them because there are no words. And that's I think Paul had that, when he engaged in, he was like, these are inexpressible. Doesn't mean that he was unable to see them. He couldn't describe them in ways that people could understand. And I think the things that are going to be released in the next generation will be so far beyond what we've seen previously that right now it's difficult to understand. I mean, if you can imagine, say, 300 years ago, showing someone an iPhone or a tablet or even a television screen, they just could not contemplate the technology, but it would just be like, this is magic, this is witchcraft, and that's what they said. For any new things, and it's usually the church who are doing the most of the, you can't do this, it's like the world is flat and you can't, and all this stuff. I mean, it's always been sort of a challenge when new things come. But it's like, take the last 200 years, you can see an amazing transformation of revelation and information and technology and all those things. Go back and people just wouldn't have any way of describing what it is. Wouldn't even have a word for telephone or iPad or laptop or computer. There would be no words that they could use to express what they actually were seeing. And it will be like that. The things right now, we have no words for them, but when they're revealed, they will be brought into the revelationary realm. And God wants us to be administrating those things, releasing those things, calling them into being and doing things like that. And that's just that one aspect. You know, there's so many dimensional understandings and aspects of what the mysteries of God are that he is preparing to release and reveal. So even having gone in there and engaged in various of these houses, I'm just trying to find a way of being able to describe or explain so we can understand what we're supposed to do. You know, and I think we're just getting to grips like with understanding what we're supposed to do in our region or our town or our nation. You know, this stuff just goes way, way beyond that. But it's really exciting, and that's what sons are supposed to do. You know, be joint heirs with Christ in the kingdom. So it's pretty great that you're having these sort of encounters and dreams, and God is preparing you for what's coming, and just keep going with it. You know, have fun with it, but...
Is there a spirit called understanding, Mike?
Oh, yeah. One of the seven spirits of God is understanding.
So, is that a spirit that we need to become familiar with so we can get understanding? Is that something you do, or...?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I engage with the seven spirits of God a lot. We engage a lot here church-wise in terms of their engagement with us. We invite their presence. We engage with them. Basically, each of the seven spirits will help us in the realm of government. So the spirit of understanding will help us understand some of the things that we need to know to be able to outwork our position of government. I think there's plenty of material on the seven spirits of God, but you have the Spirit of the Lord mandates us for position, Spirit of wisdom equips us for position, Spirit of understanding authorizes us for position, Spirit of counsel prepares us for position, Spirit of might reveals us for position, Spirit of knowledge empowers us to position, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord brings accountability for position. It's all about our position of government, who we are governmentally, that they equip us to be able to outwork. And therefore, understanding, when we have understanding, and when understanding engages us, understanding will, in a sense, help us with how to access the angelic realm, teaches us where and what we need to use, helps us understand visions and revelation, helps us perceive and help others to engage in their positions. So understanding really gives us the authorization that we need to be able to operate in that position. There's also wisdom is, my favorite in a sense of engaging with wisdom herself, but the spirit of wisdom is also actively involved in tutoring us and training us and bringing us into maturity. And that's the key, coming into spiritual maturity in our position of authority and who we are, because it's who we are. You know, it's not about what we do, it's about who we are. And you need to know who you are, that identity, to release the authority. So understanding who you are and what you're called to do, and then understanding how to do that and what court you need to go to, you know, what mandate you need to receive, what authorization you need to release, what angelic legion you need to dispatch, all that stuff comes when we take our place in the heavens and the seven spirits of God engage around us. And sometimes we're not even aware, but some of the thoughts that engage, that lead us into these things, are what they do. You know, they release revelation, and they're there to tutor us. Now, you can engage in the training hall, and you can sign up for the classrooms that they actually engage in proactively. You know, I've seen that, and I know where that is. for me, they just are around. And sometimes I sense through color or hue or shade of something that they're around. Sometimes, you know, I've met them all, so I understand what they look like for me. I mean, and again, they may well look very different for you because they're designed to interact with you in a way that you will engage. But, you know, I've seen, you know, the Spirit of the Lord appear sometimes when we've gathered, and, you know, he's come with scales. You know, quite often scales of justice, and I'm like, "Ooh, okay, there's a weighing in the balance here. I hope we're not going to be found wanting." You know, so you get this sort of sense of, you know, the purposes of God. The Spirit of the Lord releases and reveals God's purpose in any situation, and it's absolutely vital that we have that revelation, because we don't want to be cutting across what God's doing. You know, and I've ministered to people who've said, "Oh, I'm in this situation. Can you help? Can you get me out of this situation?" I always seek for the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, what is God doing in this? Is God using this situation to bring maturity, to bring, to help us in a sense of overcome and be stronger? You know, it's very important that we understand, because, you know, the sun shines down and we can lie on a beach and have a lovely relaxing time, or the sun can beat down in a desert and it appear to be, you know, hostile, but it's the same sun. You know, water can flow down as a nice gentle brook, which is refreshing, you know, or it can be a raging torrent, which absolutely wipes out everything in its path. Exactly the same water, just used for different purpose. So we just have to be aware of what's God doing. And the Spirit of the Lord gives us that insight and helps us to see and cooperate in that, so that we're mandated for a cooperation to outwork God's purposes in that situation rather than our own. Because I can be moved by compassion. You know, I can be moved by my own feelings or even relating to someone's situation and respond completely out of emotion. And I can get into trouble doing that, because that might not be what God's doing. God may not want me to help someone out of a situation, but to stand with them and walk alongside them and support them through till they overcome and they grow stronger. You know, and I'm not talking about situations like sickness and things that the enemy does, because that's stuff we just need to minister healing and get help people through. I'm talking about situations, obstacles, trials sometimes, things that sometimes people just don't want to go through because they'd rather just get out. But sometimes God uses that. Well, we know the word says, you know, count it all joy, brothers, when you encounter various trials. You know, we all like that scripture, I'm sure. But it is what God sometimes uses to help us grow stronger. And so we have to learn to overcome. Now we have lots of tools and engagement of revelation in the heavens to help us overcome in a different way. You know, we can use the judicial protocol of heaven. You know, we can actually do different things now from a higher realm perspective to help people see where they are and then help them administrate that, because we have that revelation. You know, it's like, how great to get someone into a court to deal with their accusers and to overcome by dealing with the accusations and themselves learning to deal with those accusations that the enemy makes day and night, you know, rather than just praying and asking God to bless them or help them. No, we have to help them by leading them into the encounters and helping them to experience those things for themselves, you know, helping them understand the protocols of heaven, you know, which is what I would do now. I rather than helping people just by doing what I can do, you know, even in terms of sometimes just people asking me things, I always ask God now, can I give an answer to this, or do you want me to help them get to you and get the answer? Because I don't want to be a mediator, and we're not supposed to be mediators. Yes, we're supposed to be priests, but a royal priesthood, which is a heavenly priesthood, you know. And that's different from being an Aaronic order of priesthood, you know. But we have to learn, you know, and some of it, we make mistakes. I made so many mistakes, you know. But, hey, there's no condemnation. So long as I'm willing to learn from my mistakes and press in and carry on, then I can grow and use them as stepping stones to change. You know, and God only takes you at the revelation you've got. You're not responsible for revelation you've not got yet. What you are responsible for is to pursue deeper and deeper and deeper intimacy, which will release more and more revelation. You know, and if you're not bothering to pursue intimacy, then yeah, he's not going to be too impressed. But actually, on the journey, we can't be expected to do something that we're only going to get at position Z when we're at position D. You know, so he knows where we are, and we just have to continue to follow the journey and work it out. And he's with us. Yeah, so it's pretty awesome.
That's good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Okay.
Awesome. Very good.
All right. All right. Well, probably got time for one, two more things if you want to quickly share something or ask something or whatever. But
well, if nobody will I'm very interested in learning more about the mountains and the seven spirits. So is there a place on a YouTube video, a teaching that you have you particularly would assign to go where we could study, learn more about those things? What do you recommend?
I mean, I've sort of done quite a lot of sort of different mentoring sessions where I've talked about it. They are... you know, they're playlisted, so you can see actually on the website, our website, there is actually a what do you call it, a definition or a description of all the different mentoring sessions and what's in them. A lady here kindly has basically gone through them all and effectively put in each one. So on the website, if you look into our resources area, then you can actually see a description of all the different ones, and the ones that talk about mountains and authority and those things are all there listed. You know, I can't remember, obviously. There's 300 odd videos, so there's a number of them which I talk, you know, in different parts about them. I mean, the key is to if you're in any doubt about it, is to say, okay, God, you know, can you give me revelation? You know, if you're not, you know, it's to be on the mountain and to seek for the revelation of what it is. What are the other seven spheres? You know, what are they? You know, how do I understand them? And engage in the relational thing with God to build that up. You know, he will engage with you. You know, ask one of the seven spirits of God to come, you know, and to engage with you, you know, and to see, you know, that what he wants to show you, to do with, you know, that position of authority. In reality, your mountain is you. It's you in the realm of heaven as a position of authority, and you have spheres that are associated with that mountain that you rule from your position of authority. I made the mistake of trying to get on all the mountains, and it was like spinning plates, trying to jump on one mountain to the next and do what I need to do there, and then spin a plate and hope that carried on before, and it was just because I didn't follow protocol. You know, because when I first got on my mountain, it was like, wow, I can do stuff. You know, I didn't really take too much notice of where it was, what it looked like, what was behind me. You know, I was invested with the authority, but I didn't have the wisdom to use it. Now, one day, I was taking other people to mountains, and I was sort of like just going through the exercise, and I thought, oh, I'm gonna look at my mountain. You know, I don't need to do anything on it right now because I'm just helping other people get there, so I'm gonna look. So I looked, and this big angel standing behind my throne. So I'm like, I've never noticed you there before. And he said, yes, because you never looked. And I'm like, what are you here for? Well, I've been here forever, effectively. I've been assigned to you and to your mountain and for your sphere of government, and I have been doing all the things on this mountain that you weren't able to do because you weren't mature enough. So all the things in my life, which were connections in the spirit, things that happened, the angel is there doing it on my behalf. So it's like, And he was basically there to show me the protocol to give me insight. So now I can ask him, if there's anything I need to know about how to rule or the protocol of ruling, how do I get angels assigned to this? I go and ask. You know, he's there. You know, now the more revelation I've been getting, then the less he's got to do, in effect, because I'm doing it. But he did a really good job in getting me to where I am, because they can sort of work out the circumstances of our life to bring us along a pathway which will get us into the maturity that we need. And there's a lot of things that he's done and sent in terms of angels and people and connections and books. You know, so much I've got from, you know, books in my life. You know, now I don't read books too often, you know, because I go and read the heavenly books. But they were significant milestones in my life that were, and when I look back, I know now that that angel brought that book across my path. Because those books change. I mean, I'm going back talking about, best part of 40 years where books had a significant role to play in getting me where I am, because that was my only source of revelation at the time, because I wasn't baptized in the Spirit at that point. You know, the normal Christian life, Watchman Nee's book, when I read that as a teenager, it totally changed my whole view of what the Christian life was, you know, from that perspective. You know, another book like 9 o'clock in the morning, Dennis and Rita Bennett. You know, when I read that, coming from a good brethren background who didn't believe in the Holy Spirit, you know, really, and certainly not in the gifts of the Spirit or anything like that, I read that and my mind was just like, whoa. You know, set me on a 3-year journey, eventually getting hold of Martin Lloyd-Jones' book on the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, yeah, I'm convinced. I need to be baptized in the Spirit. So, you know, but that angel brought across, because I look back and they were supernatural how these books came across my path. So, you know, that angel's there. You can connect with that angel and he will help, or she, depending on who is assigned to you, will help in helping you to understand the protocols of the mountain, what to do, how to declare, how to decree, how to release government, you know, how to engage with the atmosphere of the earth, with the angelic realm. I mean, so much there that, you know, is there waiting for us to discover and to learn. And we can do it, you know, by setting the desires of our heart towards it and pursuing that desire. And that desire will develop into the fulfillment of that desire, which will be the revelation that we need to bring government and to fulfill our sonship role. Once we set the desires of our heart towards it, it will draw us to whatever we need, you know. And I've learned to develop that desire. You know, I focus and I set my fix, my eyes on things, and then I cultivate the desire. And I did that, and I learned to do that in the natural realm. You know, I'm a techie person, so when it comes to new tech, it's like, you know, I have a process. You know, I have various forums and different things that, you know, indicate some new tech is on the horizon or something's been released. You know, I'll look at it and it's like, think, oh, that might be interesting, that might be useful. And then I'll go through a process. You know, I'll download the manual, I'll find out exactly what it does, I'll go on the forum about that piece of tech and I'll learn all the things that other people have discovered. You know, eventually, if I think, hey, that's something I want, and the desire that I've cultivated from all that I've done in looking and observing, it overcomes the cost that it's going to have in me, and I'm going to go and buy it, you know, or I'm going to call for it in the spirit so it gets released to me. You know, all sorts of ways of engaging. But even in a natural realm, I cultivate desire. And once that desire is strong enough in me, it will overcome every obstacle. Nothing will stop me getting something that I've cultivated the desire of my heart towards. And it's in the spirit. That's what we do. We cultivate the desire of our heart, activate on our position of government, or activate on something that God has revealed, or a revelation that we've been given, or a dream, you know, or even just a desire. You might want to engage the timeline, or you might want to engage something that, you know, engages you in one of the court systems of heaven, or engage with the men in white linen that are associated with you. Just set your heart on it. Start to meditate on it. Think about it. Fill your thinking with it. Your heart will draw you to it, and your spirit will engage it. And ultimately, then you'll find the fulfillment of that desire will release you into it. You know, I think it's a proverb that says, you know, about, you know, hope and fulfillment. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Mm-hmm. But hope realized is a tree of life. You know, and when we begin to realize the expectations of the things that we start to hope for and dream about, we'll find that it brings life to us. You know, and you have to cultivate it. You know, I want to know what was. I want to know the thoughts of God about me, so I set my desire of my heart on it. And I thought about it continually and continually and continually until I could access the heart of God and look into what was, so I can use what was to pattern what is, so that what will be created out of who I am. And I set my heart on that for months, you know, not knowing how to do it, but set my heart on it and engaged and meditated until I found myself able to step into the four faces of God, and from the perspective of the four faces of God, that accessed into the heart of God, and I saw what was. You know, I saw what I looked like in the heart of God in eternity. Well, that's changed what I'm doing, because I saw things there that I immediately resonated with, but I wasn't doing. Now I'm doing them, because I set the desire of my heart to find out what his thoughts were about me, not what anyone else was, or what anyone, or even what I thought about myself. I wanted his thoughts, and then by cultivating that desire, it has brought the fruit of that desire into being and realization. So I learned to do that, you know, and at the moment, the desire of my heart is set on the 12 Chancellor's houses. And that's where my, you know, whenever I'm not legislating and doing anything else, that's where I'm going to go, you know, because that's the desire on my heart, which was planted there by wisdom, really, who sort of set me a task to go and engage it. And I was like, and I set my desire on it, and I've been outworking it. So, you know, that will be my encouragement. Set your desire on your mountain. Set your desire to engage with the angel of that mountain. And then the seven mountains, just set your desire, meditate around them, you know, just by faith. So I'm going to step onto my mountain, you know, I'm going to get on the throne. What do I see from here? You know, what am I seeing? What am I experiencing from here? And that's, it will draw you, and your desires will lead you to the things that will help with the fulfillment of what your desire is. You know, it's just that, just a spiritual principle that outworks in that way. So. Yeah.
Awesome.
Anyway, there you go. Okay.
Thank you.